morning, I want you to know that God has walked and much into the history of mankind. I want to talk about God marching into the history of mankind. As many of us are not aware and not consciously realize that God actually walked into your life. The day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, as I would like to prescribe to you some of these scriptures, because to tell you earnestly and honestly that the Word of God endorses everything I say. I'm just echoing the Word of the Lord. The Bible says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. When I was a young lad, I don't have children. My life was very much of my own. I move around doing things on my own. And when I was married, I had a wife, thank God, and continued to walk by ourselves, enjoying all the good times together. Then the day came, our children came into this world. The first, the second, and the third. They came within the span of 7 years. As they came into the world, my wife and I, our lives continued to change. The birth of our children has brought changes because we began to realize the importance of what it is to be a father and not just only a husband. The entrance of my children has brought changes in my life. And I realize the birth of Jesus Christ can and will and have been bringing changes into the lives of many people. The birth of Christ is a phenomenal event. Reason why? Because Jesus was born into this world, but he did not come from this world. Jesus Christ did not emerge out of history, but he actually walked into the history of mankind. Jesus is not a man becoming God, but he is God who took the form of man. This stupendous direction of the move of God is amazing, it's awesome. And he purposefully designed the place called Bethlehem as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Why is it that he chose Bethlehem as the birthplace? I'll tell you why. Because Bethlehem was the place where King David was born. Bethlehem was the place where Samuel the prophet crowned King David as the king of Israel. Besides that, David was also a descendant of Ruth and Boaz, who were married in Bethlehem. Bethlehem became a significant place. That's the reason why Jesus was born in that place. The word Bethlehem is the house of God. And here we have the house of bread, or the house of God, speaks to me so much that he walked straight right into the history of mankind in Bethlehem. Because of that, I ask myself this question: have I allowed my personal life to become a Bethlehem for the Son of God? Have my life become the Bethlehem where God walks right straight into my life and make me the man, or to make you the woman and man to be different from what the world expects from you? He is this place, Bethlehem, where Christ was formed inside of my life. It is no ordinary intention of God. No ordinary intention of God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because we have a wonderful and the most unprecedented news that came into different people, such as a teenage girl received a message from the archangel before she gave birth to her very firstborn. Shepherds receive a message, an important message, from an angel of the Lord. And the Bible says the angels were rejoicing. They were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man." This message was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. The Bible says the virgin will conceive and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Not only these people received the message, but this eternal message was given because the birth of the person Jesus Christ is the divine message to the world. It is a momentous moment. The moment Jesus came into this world, it was a gift message for you and for me. Obviously, this gift, like many others, would either receive it or reject it. It was a gift message, but the choice lies in your hands. The reason why I say this, because it has an important aspect of the word Emmanuel. That gift message revealed to us that God is Emmanuel. When he walked straight into the history of mankind, he said, I am with you. God is with us. Through Christ, God is with us. Unfortunately, the earth was oblivious. Heaven knew about it, but the earth did not know. No wonder people would constantly live their life without realizing that it was the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift and the divine message for the world. Today, allow me to take you into this journey as God walks straight right into the history of mankind. It is through Christ God marched into the world of sin to unveil the influence of sin. This is the divine reason for Christ to step into the world of mankind. Through him, the world of sin is revealed, unveiling the influence of sin. We began to see the devastation or the devastating effect of sin. One of the greatest and the most devastating effect of sin is the word lostness. We get to see some of the scripture in Romans 3:23. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I are not exempted. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Also written in Matthew chapter 8, 11. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. Sin has affected every one of us. Sin has touched every part of us. Physical part of us. There are a lot of physical harm we see today. Someone will be beaten up and have concussion, and then he had brain damage because sin has caused the fight. There was spiritual distortion. There were emotional distortion, economically bankrupt, and also eternally lost in their life. Listen, friends, brothers and sisters, sin has devalued human being. Sin has made one to think that life is okay because they create an image that it's all right. But it has devalued us, such as the brokenness of a family. When one is lost in this Christmas, there will be someone out there that probably is lost right now, had a recent divorce and not knowing where to go, and will be celebrating or rather being alone during this Christmas time. There will be someone out there probably walking along the street, having no aim or goals in life, and now being so lost, wanting to find food for himself, and struggling around the rubbish on that very Christmas day. Someone on that Christmas day will probably be living in pain and sorrow because someone has hurt them and is living in that pain for these few nights, wondering, why am I here on this earth? Lostness is a real effect of life. Sin has devalued many people today. There is corruption of the soul. There is a ruin of the family. And we begin to see this happening over and over again. There is a desecration of the mind and a distortion of the mind. Brothers, sisters, and friends, sin has separated man from real life. We think what we are doing is real, but it's not. We are just caved into a situation, hiding ourselves in the cave and bound ourselves. Sometimes we hide ourselves alone somewhere. We do not want to see anyone. We separate from the people. Why? Because we don't want people to know about our pain. We do not want people to know about us. We hide. We cave. We hide ourselves in the cave, not realizing when you hide too long, it becomes a prison to you. Soon, that prison becomes a graveyard. Sin has caused many people to lose their lives. I remember looking at one mother the other day in one of the shopping malls. She was buying something, and she ordered her food. And as she was turning around, I didn't know that she had a child at that time because she was standing by herself. And the little boy was away from her. And she looked around with the desperate eyes, and I was just gazing at her. What's she going to do? She's looking around. Where is my son? Do you know that when you lose a child that is separated from you, there is such a pain, there is such a desperation? I don't know about you, but there was one time, and I was just keeping all my information in the computer, in a hard drive, and it was not an Apple hard drive, it was just the Microsoft software, and viruses attacked, and I said, oh no, you get so frustrated with yourself, why didn't I be wise enough to keep the information on another external hard drive? And I failed to do so, and all my informations were gone. And so I got myself smart enough. Not only I kept in a hard drive, the next time I got another external drive. And I kept the information now. And I was so assured that I will not lose anymore. Lo and behold, one day I was carrying the external drive and it dropped from my hand. And at the same time, the computer had viruses attacked again. Now I lost. You know what I do today? I bought a Mac. But you know what? I have so little faith in technology. So I had two external drives. I was afraid to lose my information. This is how powerful it is when it comes to lostness. Brothers, sisters, and friends, when Jesus walked straight right into the history of mankind, is to cause an intentional realization for you and for me to know that we are lost without Him. We are lost without Him. Someone said, I don't need God. I am able to do and live my life by myself. I said, if you live with that philosophy, that you don't need anyone, I can live by myself, by my own. Then I'll ask you, when you are in a quicksand, you will definitely ask for help. When you are holding on to a tightrope, hanging there by the cliff, you definitely need help. Every one of us need help. Jesus Christ came to help us and to save us. Secondly, through Christ, God reveals His righteousness to a dark world. The scripture says this in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And look at the next verse, Romans 3:21 to 22. This is the verse that I want to highlight to you. He says, but now, a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law that the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's a very powerful verse. In fact, the scholars by the name of Dr. Barnhouse, he said this verse is the heart of the gospel. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther says this is the marrow of theology. Romans chapter 3 verse 21. We notice this verse as you gaze yourself at this word, the word but. It simply tells me that we have been given a realistic picture of our human condition, which I mentioned earlier, lostness. We were separated. Then what then can God do to help us with the depravity or the lostness of our lives? God has an answer. If you look around us for 100 over years, the society globally is plunging into the pitch of darkness. Human conflicts are everywhere. More so politically today. Corruption were easily perceived. Human excessive greed for power is growing uncontrollably. People want to have more power. The kind of darkness is eating the lives of people. We are all living like the kitten playing with the wool, completely entangled, and yet not knowing the danger. God has an answer. The answer is that He introduced to us the new chapter. He's introducing you to you the new covenant. He's also introducing to you the new life through Christ. Notice the word now. From the verse that we just read, it says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. He says, now. I'm looking forward for the kingdom of God to overthrow the kingdom of darkness. I'm looking forward to see that the fulfillment of the word now will take place. He said, now things will change. When you were going through your desperate needs, He says, when you see your situation, the word of the Lord says, but now. Now there's going to be a turning point. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a transformation. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be people being taken out from the miry clay, from the pit of darkness, into the marvelous light. But now, you may go through darkness. You may go through the pain. He says, but now, there's going to be a change today. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's going to be a change in your life. There's going to be a transformation in your life because Jesus has come into the life of mankind. Amen. There's going to be a change. The word righteousness, as the book of Romans described, tells me that God wants man to be made right with Him. The word righteousness simply means made right with God. You see, God revealed to us and exposed our weakness, our lostness. And now He has entered into this world to reveal the answer to your lostness is the word righteousness. Righteousness is to be made right with God. The turning point is now. The change is now, and it must begin with Jesus Christ. The birth of Christ reveals the world that things can be changed. Why? Because grace is there for us. How has this righteousness been made known to you and to me? Is it through Mount Sinai where the law was given? Brothers and sisters and friends, the Bible says now, a righteousness from God apart from law, which means to say that we can never be made right through law. There is a limitation to the law. The law will show you God's righteous standards for moral behavior. But it cannot compel you to obedience. It could not provide you the desire for righteousness. It only shows you the good things about the standard for your behavior. But obedience cannot come through law. It has to come through Christ. Abraham in the book of Genesis, when he heard the call of God to leave his hometown to a place unknown to him, which he called the promised land. But he went and followed God. And the Lord said, because he believed in the Lord, and God credited to Abraham as righteousness. Today, brothers and sisters, it is imperative for you and for me to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior of your life in order for us to have the righteousness of God as our garments. We must be dressed up in His righteousness, because divine righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And anyone who believes in Him shall be credited righteousness. The righteousness does not come without sacrifice. It came through the Son, Jesus Christ, who died at the cross. His righteousness can never be received or appropriated except by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, faith is required. How can man be made right with God? Brothers and sisters, we know that the law cannot help, because the purpose of the law is not to save anybody. The purpose of the law is just to reveal to you the need to be saved. But only Jesus can save us. Amen. The only way we can be righteous is through Christ. The only way man can be made right with God is through Christ. And when you are made right with God through Christ, your marriage can be made right. Your children can be made right. And all your areas of your desires, your career, and your job, it can be made right. When we are made right with God, our entire approach, our entire journey in our destiny of life can be made right. How we relate to one another in the society can be made right. How we relate to our children, as when you have children who are difficult to deal with, it can be made right when we are made right with God. Amen. Sometimes children have a lot of issues with parents. Why? Not only the parents are not made right with God, but the children are also not made right with God. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus walked into the history of mankind, walked straight right into your life, He wants us to be made right with Him so that everything can be made right. I always give this simple but powerful illustration. If you have buttons on your shirt, and the very first button you button in, and if it's wrongly buttoned in, the rest will also be wrong. Am I right or not? Yeah. Don't believe me? Do it right now. When you button the right hole, the right place, the rest will be made right. I pray today that we are made right with God so that all things can be made right. Lastly but not least, through Christ, God wants to bring His truth back in the midst of deception, which Satan crafted cleverly in this world. The scriptures that I'm giving to you reveals to you that God has come to overcome the enemy. He says, for these are coming to the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who hears of the truth hears my voice. Somebody say amen. He said, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. There is no other person that can destroy the works of the enemy. Only the Son of God. He came to be our Satan conqueror. Why? Because Satan's greatest weapon, which he has succeeded many times, is through deception. He has deceived mankind. Deception is capable of pleasing people's fantasies, making you to see and believe the dream and the fantasies that are not real. And you try to follow suit and walk towards that dream and found yourself entrapped. Deception is obscuring your vision towards what God wants you to do. Deception, brothers and sisters, makes the person look real. You know, I read a little story about this driver driving his boss, who is a philosopher, a professor. And he constantly drives him to these conferences. And in the conferences, he would entertain the questions from the crowd. And the driver was overwhelmed and mesmerized by the answers that the professor or the philosopher would give to the crowd. And he has done that for many years, driving the philosopher for the conferences and listening to the things that he answers. One day he asked the philosopher, he said, "Sir, would you mind if we exchange room? You be the driver, I'll be the philosopher. And I will go and I want to have a taste and experience what it is like to stand before the crowd and to answer those questions." The philosopher uncannily agreed and decided to let him have a taste of it. So the day came. And apparently the make-believe philosopher was doing very well. He answered every question because he had heard from the philosopher, the real philosopher before. But then all of a sudden, a man at the back asked him this question. He said, "Sir," to this make-believe philosopher, he asked this question. "Is the epistemological meta-narrative that you seem to espouse compatible with the theological account of the universe?" And this make-believe philosopher looked at him. He said, "Your question is too easy. Even my driver can answer it." The real antidote for a deception is the word truth. Truth is the antidote against deception and lies. This word truth has been echoed for many, many years. The day when Pilate confronted Jesus Christ and questioned him and said, "Are you the king?" "You say that I am," Jesus said. "Then you are the king," Pilate answered. Jesus answered, "You say that I am the king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Then Pilate asked this question, retorted, "What is truth? What is truth?" This question has permeated throughout the years today. One day I went to a Chinese grocery shop, and it was not here. It was back in Malaysia at that time, back in 1988. When I met this man, and I shared with him the good news of the Lord, and he says, "Mr. Singh," that's my surname, a good surname, thank God. He says, "Mr. Singh, all religions are the same. They teach us good things." And there I took the opportunity to share with him and say, I won't mention his name, "Mr. So-and-so," or "Mr. Alex," if I just fictitiously put his name there. "Mr. Alex, You see, there is a big difference between being good and being in truth. I said, listen, I can be so good to you, but I may not be truthful to you. I can be a good man to you. I can help you whenever you need help. I'll be good, but I may not be truthful because you do not know my motives. There's a big difference between truth and good. What are you looking for? And I always tell people, be truthful to me, because when you're truthful, I know you are good. But when you're good to me, I'm not too sure when you're truthful. There is a lot of difference between truth and good. Truth is like an umbrella of God. The moment you come out of this umbrella, you expose yourself to the rain of deception. If you want to protect yourself from the deception, you must come underneath the umbrella. You know, we must stay in the truth in order to battle against lies and deception. Truth corresponds with reality. Listen to me. There was a time when the teacher was talking to the students, just as I am standing here talking to you. And the teacher told the students, on my right is the exit door. But the student's position is, on my left is the exit door. No matter what position you are in, whether you are in an audience position or you are in my position, the truth remains where it is. You can say he's on the right, or you can say he's on the left, but the truth remains where it is. Amen. Brothers and sisters, no matter what your position is, you cannot change the truth. Amen. I pray today that you will observe what truth is all about. Truth has been charged for being very exclusive, being excluding and not inclusive. Truth. People accuse that they have always been excluding other people and not inclusive. Brothers and sisters, I can't simply include somebody who can harm my family. True, do not exclude, but true prevents. We prevent any possible situation that can cause harm, but people interpret as being excluding. Truth opens up God's favor. In the book of Esther, when she entered into the presence of the king, the favor of God came upon her. This unprecedented story in the book of Esther shows me that God brought truth into the policies and the laws that changed the landscape of the nation. God walked into the history of mankind so that truth can be re-established. Yes, brothers and sisters, truth will grant us favor. Truth provides you the future for a wonderful, favorable prospect. This is the true meaning of Christmas, that God walked into the history of mankind to re-establish truth. You may ask me this question, Pastor, what's the big deal of having truth to be made such an important thing to talk about? I'll tell you why truth is so important. Because you and I do not want to have life with consequences of being wrong. You do not want lies that will lead us to the wrong direction. Someone accused truth of being narrow-minded. All you Christians are narrow-minded. It's only this thing, not others. Truth is absolute, it's not relative. But they call it truth is narrow-minded. And I ask them this question. If you say truth is narrow-minded, may I ask you, would you prefer to take wrong amount of medication to your body? Would you be so open to take all kinds of medication for yourself? Would you be concerned if there is a wrong monetary investment. Therefore, we need truth. If we don't have truth, we will continue to walk in lies and deception that will lead you into the wrong investment in life, wrong priority, and also wrong amount of things that you bring into your family. Be very careful, brothers and sisters and friends. Truth must be reestablished in order to make us right. So when we are made right, we will not be lost. We will be found. And whatever lostness and separation you go through, Jesus can redeem us and save us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you look at the final part, God walked into the history of mankind simply for these three things. I pray that you will not be lost today. That even if you think you are and you have been, you may think that you have gone through a bad relationship. You may think that you have gone through a bad time with your family members. If you think that your parents do not fully understand what you go through in life. If you think that you are alone and nobody cares much about you, you have been placed aside and been placed as a specimen for people to criticize you. I want you to know, Jesus came to heal you. He came to comfort you. He came to make it right for you. Jesus came to reveal His righteousness. It's not about being a holy man or a holy woman. Righteousness is about being right with God. If we are not right with God, everything else would not be right. And today God say, let us walk in truth. Let us be honest with ourselves. Let us know what is inside of us. And not be ashamed, but say, Lord, I need truth. Because the Bible says His truth can set us free. And we do not be chained up by all kinds of emotional distortion. We get flabbergasted. We get emotionally depressed. We get emotionally sad and saddened by some things in life. And we constantly battle through with our emotion and our mind. But when truth comes, it settles down. And the moment it settles down, we begin to think, oh yes, God, you have brought me into realization. I get to see the truth of who I am and what I need in my life. And I want to close with this little story. It was in December 1903. There was two men, after many attempts, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright. They were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground and into the air at a place called Kitty Hawk. They were thrilled over their accomplishments. And so, in those days, you telegraphed your joy. So they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine, and wrote there, saying, we have actually flown 120 feet, will be home for Christmas. Catherine was excited, hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. And the editor of the local newspaper glanced at the message and said, how nice, the boys will be home for Christmas. The editor totally missed the big news. The big news is not about coming home for Christmas. The big news is for the first time in human history, man had flown. I pray today that you will not miss the big news. That Christmas, with all the glittering lights, with all the gifts and with all the running and the hustle and bustle of shopping and all the photo takings, do not forget the big news. Jesus has walked into the history of your life. Did somebody say?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you glad? Amen. Let's give a wonderful praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to stand together with me right now.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.